Genesis chapter 17 for our second reading. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee, in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep, between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh, for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her, yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee, and behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the foreskin, in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. I've divided this out a little bit differently than I have in time past. I've taken the first verse and separated it. I think the writer here, Moses, would point us in a particular direction. Notice, when we left off Abram, at that time we knew him as Abram, in the last chapter, he was 86 years old. Now we have, in his 99th year, the Lord appears to him. It has been 13 and a half or 14 years since God has spoken with Abram. It may be, and this may be something of conjecture, but good commentators have it, that this is somewhat of a response to Abram's sin and lack of faith in the last chapter. That the Lord has closed the revelation down to make Abram hungry for it, to create that thirst in him once again to hear from the Lord. That he has learned through the silence of God the lessons of his former faithlessness. It is an interesting chapter in that we begin with this 14 years of silence, or 13 years or so of silence, and then God speaking to Abram saying what? I am El Shaddai, the all-powerful God. What was it that Abram stumbled in the last chapter? That's right, looking to carnal means to provide for God's promises. And so God reveals himself here as El Shaddai. I am the almighty God. And then he says, walk before me and be thou tamim. Perfect. Full. Complete. Lacking nothing. Full of faith. Not faithless. And so as I was reading in several commentaries, especially brought out by Principal Candlish, and Candlish makes quite a little bit of a deal here of this 14-year silence and then God coming to Abram as El Shaddai and then telling him to be perfect. I think he has a good point. So then, as we see this scenario being played out before us of God, if you will, calling Abram to account and pressing to him that he is able to do everything that he has promised and doesn't need Abram's carnal help, he says to him, be thou perfect. And yet, we see that even, what is it, two-thirds of the way through the chapter, Abraham now's pleading cry with God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He doesn't yet get it. Not yet, but he will. And so we have this crisis of faith with Abram. Yes, he is a faithful man. Yes, and we'll see by the time we get to chapter 22 that Abraham is a giant of faith. But the reason he is a giant of faith in chapter 22 is because in chapter 15 and in chapter 16 and in chapter 17 and in 18 and in 19 and in 20 and in 21, God has been working and dealing with his man. And he has been bringing him along and providing those circumstances of providence that would indeed cause him to grow up in faith. So walk before me, Abram, and be thou perfect. The next thing that I want to point out is that is the verbs with regard to covenant. And I know this gets a little bit technical, but it is very important, or else I wouldn't bring it up. So when God first makes a covenant with Abram in chapter 15, the word that is used is the standard word for making a covenant. And this is what you have heard probably if you've read any bit of covenant theology at all. It's karat berit. And it means to cut a covenant. To cut it. Because remember, the animals were cut in half. The concept of a covenant carried the threat with it of a cutting. And so covenants were cut between parties. Animals were divided in two, and so on. We even see in this passage the cutting of the foreskin as a sign of the covenant. So, karat berit is used in chapter 15. I hope you see that it's not used here. Now, you can't read the Hebrew, obviously you don't have it here. But in the first instance, it is natan berit, I will give my covenant. And in the second instance, it's hakim berit, I will raise up or cause my covenant to be established. Now, this is important because we do not have a new covenant here in 17. And this is particularly important in the climate of today's covenant theology, because there are a lot of perversions of covenant theology that are saying the covenant that God made with Abram here in 17 is separate from everything else. Truly, the verbs tell us that it's not. The covenant is cut. It is cut in 15. It is given and established in chapter 17. That tells us that it is the same covenant. The Lord has not made a different covenant with Abram, but He is causing that covenant that He made in chapter 15 to stand as He fleshes it out more, as He draws more of the terms into that covenant and reveals more to Abram of what the Lord Himself will do as history goes on. Did you see the use of your King James second person singular and plural long about verses 9 and 10? Watch this. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Okay, so thou and thy, singular, right? Thy seed. So you see, the Apostle Paul catches on to that. To Abraham and to his seed, singular, were the promises made. He saith not seeds as of many, but seed as of one, which is Christ. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3 tells us very clearly that the seed that the Lord is looking at here is not the seed's many, but Christ and all who will believe in Christ, all who will be united to Him by faith. Now watch this. This is my covenant which ye, all of you, shall keep between me and you, all of you, and thy seed, singular, after thee, every man-child among you shall be circumcised. All of you will be in covenant by virtue of that one seed. This is what drives the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3 under the inspiration of God's Spirit to say that the covenant really is made with Christ. It is made with Abraham and with his seed, but the seed is one, not many. And so the Lord has a view here in making this covenant with Abraham. He is looking down the corridor of redemptive time, if you will, and he's looking at Christ. And so this covenant is made with Christ, and in him with all the elect as his seed. So then verses 7 through 11 is the statement of the covenant. The blessedness of his posterity is noted, and the Lord blesses Abraham in his posterity with the abundance of that of the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ. The covenant sign, then, is the sign of circumcision. And as we have heard before, this sign of the covenant is indicative of regeneration, cleansing, and being separated unto the Lord. It is given to the seed of Abraham and all those over whom he has sway, that is, in his house. And yes, I believe that includes his 318 fighting men. If they wanted to stay in the house, they needed to be circumcised, because this extended to the entirety of the house of Abraham. And isn't that what it says here at the end of the chapter? In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house and bought with money of the stranger, which were they were circumcised with him. Being then the covenant of grace, it is clear that the sign of the covenant is not tantamount to salvation, but to the outward administration of that covenant. Right? Notice who else is circumcised? Ishmael. Is Ishmael a believer in Yahweh? He is not. He is not. He's outside with regard to faith, but he is inside with regard to covenant administration. And this is a difficulty that we have with our friends across the aisle. And in some cases, there are those who have a very hard time recognizing that the administration of the covenant of grace is always wider than election. Right? It's wider than election. There are those who are in the administration of the covenant that are not indeed elect people and will never come to faith in Christ, and yet they receive the seal of the covenant. They receive the sign of the covenant. Like Ishmael. Like Esau, whom God, what? Hated. Okay. How many instances does it take to disprove a universal? Right. Okay, so then also the covenant sign makes a distinction between Ishmael and Isaac. You say, how does it make a division, some kind of distinction between Ishmael and Isaac? Because of the timing of when that covenant sign is given. Ishmael represents Sinai, genders to bondage, like the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 4. And because Ishmael is that carnal child, the child born of the will of the flesh, circumcision is given afterwards, after his birth, before Abram himself is circumcised. On this day, Abraham is circumcised, and notice how the author is very clear to point out that it is on that very day, in Abraham's faithful obedience, that he circumcises himself, Ishmael, and all that are in his house, and it is subsequent to that that the child of the promise is conceived. And this is the one time where there is a division, a distinction between the circumcisions of the two boys. Ishmael is circumcised that day, but his father had not been circumcised at the time of his conception, but he was circumcised at the time of the conception of Isaac. The other thing that is very interesting about this chapter is the interplay of the names. So the Lord tells him, Sarah is going to have a child. Abraham goes, he laughs. The Lord says, name him Laughter. As a witness, name him Laughter as a witness to the difficulty that you had believing me. I know that some scholars have said, oh no, because he was the son of his old age, it was the son of his delight, the son of his life. No, that's not why he was named Isaac. He was named Isaac because Abraham laughed when God told him. I know we're awfully hard on Sarah for doing that, but we often forget that in chapter 17, Abraham also laughed. And that name was given first in chapter 17. And then secondly, as for Ishmael, whose name means what? The Lord hears. I have heard thee, right? And I will make of him a great nation also. And so the interplay of the names is very, very important, as it often is in the Hebrew Old Testament here. All right, so then, the perfection of which the Lord spoke earlier in verses 15 through 22 was a readiness to leave his desire for Ishmael to be his heir and the child of promise, and to look to the child whom the Lord would provide by his own gracious means, Isaac. This is yet another trial of Abraham's faith. The Lord encourages him with a promise of care for Ishmael, but he will not be the covenant heir. Isaac is. And so when the Lord says, walk before me and be thou perfect, one of the things that he is demanding of Abraham in that perfection is that he leave off his affections for Ishmael as the covenant seed, and that he turn his affections to Isaac as the covenant seed. Now that would be difficult. I mean, he has already enjoyed the fatherhood of his old age. Ishmael is born to him when he's 86 or 7. And no doubt, Abraham has found great joy in raising his son Ishmael. No doubt, he is He has found him to be the joy and delight of his heart. No doubt he has done everything that a father ought to do for Ishmael. He has dandled him upon his knee. He has taught him to hunt. He has taught him to fish. He has taught him to build. He has taught him to travel. He has told him of the covenant. He's told him all of those things. He has spent time with Ishmael. His heart has already gone out to him such that he says, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." But the perfection that God requires is no. He will not be the covenant heir. Isaac will. And Isaac will come forth out of Sarah. Out of Sarah. Sarah herself will conceive and bear a child. And you'll name him Laughter, so that you'll remember and be rebuked every time you speak his name. And you will be the more minded to believe in me when I make my promises. And then finally, we note the obedience of Abraham, and we call it obedience, and so it was. That selfsame day. If there is one thing that we might say about Abraham throughout the course of his life that we see, it's those instances of wondrous obedience, wondrous, miraculous, and faithful obedience. Rising up early, immediately tending to the things that God told him to do. Very, very important, and a great example to us. All right, thus ends the reading of Genesis chapter